If you will take your Bibles, please, and turn with me. Today we are going to begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Would you pray for me, with me? Father, make us know today, if there be any doubt in us, that this salvation is revealed in us and that it has been preserved for us and that a reward does certainly await us that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept by you for us in heaven. Make that a reality in us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of reading God's Word. I have my phone here. I'm not expecting a call. It is amazing what these things will do. I get an email once a week from a group called The Voice of the Martyrs. And I thought that on this day, Sunday before the beginning the celebration of the July 4th, our independence, that I would just read you something, and maybe you would want to get this email weekly as I do. Muslim leaders in a remote Pakistani community threatened an evangelist recently, telling him to stop his work or he would see results coming in the future. The men approached Salman, the evangelist, as he distributed gospel literature. They told him, "We are well aware of what you are doing here. You are trying to convert Muslims to Christianity. We warn you to stop these activities." Unshaken by their threat, Salman boldly replied, "I am here because God sent me. When the Lord asks me to leave this place, I will do it. But until then, I will not leave." In another Pakistani city, officials visited an evangelist's office and asked if Christians were involved in converting Muslims to Christianity. The officials also asked about the evangelist's source of funding. Christians who work in the office are now under investigation and authorities are also watching their mail. Pray that God will grant wisdom and protection to all those sharing the gospel in Pakistan. The United States government is sending billions of dollars every year to the government of Pakistan. Intense fighting has erupted along the border between North and South Sudan. Eyewitnesses report that dozens of civilians have been killed and more than 60,000 displaced. Two churches built in the area of the Christian ministry Samaritan's Purse were burned, and multiple bombs have been dropped near an airstrip used for Samaritan Purse relief efforts. This church supports Samaritan's Purse. The Vacation Bible School this year bought four goats and I don't know how many chickens to give through Samaritan's Purse. In addition, attackers looted the home of some of the ministry workers and burned their offices. Churches and pastors were directly targeted. One pastor said the renewed violence comes at a critical time in Sudan's history as South Sudan is preparing to become an independent nation on July 9th. If the fighting continues, it could escalate into another civil war. Pray for a peaceful transition of power. Pray that Christians in both North and South Sudan will wait and hope on the Lord. And this last one. A recently released video shows four Afghan militants beheading a man believed to be a Christian in Herat province. The militants, who claim to be Taliban, captured Abdul Latif from his village outside the town of Injil. In the video, the men whose faces are covered with scars recite verses from the Quran as they pin Latif to the ground. They read an indictment that references Surah 8:12. That's a passage in the Quran that says, whoever changes his religion should be executed. One militant stabs Latif in the neck with a knife, and the men shout that God is great repeatedly until he is fully beheaded. They then place Latif's head on his chest. Afghan Christians warn of dire consequences for believers when American forces leave Afghanistan. The Taliban will come to power. Afghan Christian Obad S. Christ told World Magazine, we will have the same situation we had in the 1990s when the Russians left Afghanistan. Pray for the protection of Christians in Afghanistan. Pray that other Afghans will find hope and peace in Christ as they anticipate more violence. Pray that God will grant wisdom to those involved in determining Afghanistan's future. Now, if you take the words Voice of the Martyrs and type into your Google search engine, you can subscribe to receive one of these emails every week. We celebrate tomorrow American independence. I don't believe in this church's history we've ever had anyone beheaded for sharing their faith. If we're not careful, what's happening there is going to happen here. If we don't begin to stand up and vote our conscience and put our walk and our talk back into proper alignment with God's will. That's why I had my phone with me. So if you will, bow your hearts with me. Let's begin today by praying. Father, help me to care. And help me to pray for those in Pakistan, for those in Sudan, for those in Afghanistan, and for all the other Christians who are being martyred, who are being persecuted for your great name's sake. While I sit by idly in my land of ease and blessing and complain about how little the church does, forgive me for my arrogance, for my insolence. Forgive me for my apathy. Help me to care. Help me to go. Help me, Father, to put my feet and my hands and my life into the way of Satan and his advancing armies in this world. Help me to put myself back fully and wholly into all of your efforts to bring the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the gospel that saves to all the world. May that be my prayer as I celebrate my freedom tomorrow. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may think that a strange thing to pray and to discuss in a sermon on heaven, but today we're talking about the rewards we will receive in heaven, and I want you to think about these rewards in the context of what I just read about what's happening in other parts of the globe. There are places today where a man telling what I'm going to tell will be shot. This is not one of them. There are places today where people who come to hear someone say what I'm going to say today would be shot. This is not one of them. So why are the seats not full? And why are we not excited by the freedom we have? Well, I think it goes to what we're going to talk about today. Look, if you will, about heaven. Heaven has a reward that is great. And I want you to look at this. Be glad that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. This verse is taken out of Luke where it talks about how people are persecuted for his name's sake and who count themselves joyful in having been persecuted. Now think about that a moment. If we were being persecuted, wouldn't we have a poor, pitiful me party? If you or I were sitting in jail today for the gospel of Jesus Christ, wouldn't we be going, can you believe? Wouldn't we? We are so messed up in our thinking that we don't even think about Jesus' return with anticipation. We've gotten so worldly minded that when we think about Jesus coming, we think things like, man, I hope he doesn't come till I can retire, or I hope he doesn't come till I have grandkids, or I hope he doesn't come till I get married, or I hope he doesn't come till I graduate, or I hope he doesn't come till I get, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to leave today. Well, why is that? It is because we have become so earthly minded that we aren't rejoicing at the prospect of going to heaven. And every one of us who can honestly say that we are excited about Jesus' return and praying honestly that he come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come now. If we're not doing that, then we have a problem in the way we're thinking. We have become worldly minded, not heavenly minded. What we need to be praying is that God would make us so heavenly minded that we become more earthly good. You see, we've said it in the reverse. We have made those two things in opposition. The reality is, the more heavenly minded you become, the more earthly good you can do. In heaven, the reward is great. And in heaven, we're going to receive an inheritance. Think about your inheritance. Now, some of you might be ready to inherit quite a bit. Others of us may not have inherited much. I inherited a farm. I'm delighted about what I inherited. I wish I hadn't inherited it yet. I'd much rather have my parents living on the farm than me inheriting it. But I didn't inherit just from them. You see, my mother inherited half of the farm from her mother. Our inheritance goes beyond just us. Think about it. How are you living? What are people going to inherit from you? And are you sending out a legacy for those beyond your immediate family to inherit? In heaven, our reward is great. In heaven, we cast our rewards before Jesus' feet. Now, let's talk about this a moment. Once more, our attitude. Now, think about this. How many of us get our money and we give it away? Now, my mother used to be a bank teller, and she would say that on the third day of the month, that's when everybody got their government checks. And the third day of the month, every month, was a day that you tried to be nice to mama. Because when mama came home from working on that day, you know what happened? She didn't cook. My daddy, who never took my mama out to eat, would take my mama out to eat on the third day of every month because he was smart. Okay? She was dog tired. Now, on the third day of the month, do you suppose that all those people are getting money, are walking out of the bank, and then just giving it away? We don't do that, do we? None of us do that. We get something, and what's the purpose of getting it? To use it, to consume it. Our nation has become a consumer nation. Notice about our rewards. When we get our rewards, notice what's going to happen. In heaven, our rewards are cast before Jesus' feet. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne. Why are they doing that? Because they love him. They worship him. They recognize it. The whole point of having anything, if you really love God, isn't to use it for yourself. It is to give it to him. My life is to be given to him. Now, if you don't get that, then heaven is not really in your head. Have you ever done something for someone because you love them so much, you just wanted them to have it? You wanted to give it to them? You didn't want it for yourself. You wanted to bless them with it. You ever done that? Pam and I were at a restaurant eating when Aaron was a little baby. And Aaron, when he was a little baby, sometimes would do things that other little babies do. He would throw up and go to the bathroom. And he wouldn't do those things sometimes in the privacy of our home. Sometimes he would do those things in public. It was very rude of him, very considerate of him, but it's age-appropriate behavior for those who are, you know, 6 weeks old. And it had been one of those days. Pam and I were eating, and it came time for the check. We'd been waiting and waiting and waiting for the check, and no one would bring it. And finally, I got the waitress's attention and said, "Where's our check?" And she said, "Oh, it's been paid." "Huh? Yeah, somebody paid your bill." So somebody had watched us from afar and had seen the day we were having and chose to bless us by paying the bill. The idea of giving something to someone else for their benefit and not yours, that's a part of this, casting it before Jesus. But when we think about Jesus, he's giving even more, right? So you'd want to do it even more. "For the Lord delights in his people, he crowns the humble with salvation." Now, the different kinds of crowns we're going to get, I got to go kind of quick because I wanted you to see this. There are four crowns I want to talk about. Three of them everybody gets, and one of them I don't know who all is going to get. The first crown is the crown that is given to you for having completed this race. In heaven we will receive the incorruptible crown. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Now think about all the work that some people put in to get a little medal. We're going to receive not a wreath made of leaves, but an imperishable crown for having run this race of life well. In heaven, we're also going to receive not just an incorruptible crown, but the crown of righteousness. "In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness," Paul says, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing." Now, let's go back to that concept of his appearing. Who loved his appearing? Do you really love his appearing? Are you anticipating? Are you wanting it? Or are you going, "Not today, I got other things, please wait"? So this crown of righteousness comes to those who love his appearing. So in heaven, we're going to be given by God a right standing before him that never changes, the crown of righteousness. Also in heaven, we're going to receive the crown of life. "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, this is a crown of life that is given to those who persevere under trials. God rewards us when we go through trials. That's why I read you the email. Really, what kind of trials are we having? Compared to these men and women, our trials are trivial, are they not? I know they're big to us, but we need to get a larger perspective. Our trials are trivial. I don't know anybody personally who's ever been beheaded for the gospel's sake. In the book Radical by David Platt, he begins by discussing a seminary that graduates graduate from only if they've been able to lead and plant a church in a Muslim community. And in that book, he talks about one of the graduates he interviewed. And this graduate was a trained ninja. Now think about that. I don't know any trained ninjas. This guy is a trained ninja who God has saved, and he's now preaching the gospel. And this trained ninja who has great ability, I'd imagine, in self-defense, you wouldn't want to tick off the trained ninja, is preaching in a community. And a witch doctor from the community comes and opposes him in his face and curses him. And everybody else in the community goes, "Ooh." This minister of the gospel, in his flesh, wants to do what every one of us would want to do. Punch the witch doctor in the nose and teach him some manners, right? But the Spirit of the Lord constrained him, and he sat down in a chair in front of the witch doctor and prayed out loud, that God would have this man drop dead. And he did. Then he stood up and said, I thought that would be a good time to preach the gospel. And he did. And glory was given to God and many were saved. Now that's a seminary. We don't produce that in our seminaries. Why? Because we aren't facing the persecution, the crown of life. In heaven we will receive a crown of glory. And this is particularly for those who preach the gospel, I think. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. This all talks about the under-shepherds and the chief shepherd. And I think this one is for those who preach, but you know, I could be mistaken. The idea here is God's giving rewards. And I want to tell you about the particular rewards He's giving. He's given a reward to soul winners. Look, if you will, we continue to talk about this. There will be, in heaven, there will be rewards given for spiritual service. One for soul winning. Daniel 12:3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like stars forever. In heaven, soul winners are going to be recognized and honored. Now, you and I, we're afraid to share our faith, right? What will someone say? They might laugh at me. The most violence that has ever come to me for sharing my faith was when someone sicked a Doberman pincher on me. And he got his mouth around my thigh, and he never bit down. I was able just to walk right out of it. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I think there was an angel holding his jaws open. I really believe that God will protect us if we will do His will, but the reason we don't know of His protection is we don't take the risk to do His will. In heaven, there is humble. Our humble service is going to be rewarded. The Bible says, whoever in the name of a disciple gives one of these little ones even a cold cup of water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Little things are going to be rewarded. You know, we have a saying that we like to say that no good deed goes unpunished, right? You ever say that? We shouldn't say that because it's a lie. In heaven, we are going to be rewarded for every good deed we've done. The Bible says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be the sons of the Most High. God is going to reward us for every little thing we've done. Even the things we've lent, we're going to be rewarded. We're also going to be rewarded for stewardship. Now think about that. Some of us don't want to be a good steward. Some of us want to get all we can all we get, and then sit on the can. But we need to understand that God's going to reward us for our stewardship. The Bible says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful steward, for you were faithful in a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Did you ever think about that as you're writing your check? I had a deacon one time, not in this church, tell me he had looked at his bills, and he had realized that if he took the money that he was giving to the church each month, he could buy instead a very nice Mercedes. Now think about that. So what if he did buy a very nice Mercedes? What's going to happen to a Mercedes? Well, it's going to get old. One of these days it's going to quit running. Now what's going to happen to the reward of your stewardship? Don't you think that in heaven one day, he's going to be glad he didn't buy that Mercedes? He's going to be glad that he gave, and because it's going to be rewarded by the Lord, he will put him in charge of many things instead. In heaven, rewards will be given for suffering endured. Now, some of us, I don't think you're going to be able to get these rewards because I don't think our suffering is going to rise to the level. Look what it says in Psalm 56, verse 8. Record my lament. Now, lament is when you are crying. You're in great weeping and gnashing teeth. You're hurting deeply. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? God's keeping a record of our tears, it says. Blessed are you when people insult you, Jesus said, and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Does that happen much with us? Do people insult us much? No, we're quiet, so nobody will. But notice what he goes on to say. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If we endure, we will also reign with him, the Bible says. So we need to understand God's economy, and it is different from ours. And then last in that section, I want us to look at one other verse that I really want you to consider a minute. Hebrews chapter 11. Considering the approach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he was looking to the reward. You and I need to be living with this attitude. Do we consider the reproach of Christ as a great riches? Or don't we look forward more to the treasures of Egypt / America? Which is your economy? Don't you think more about what you get here? Today is July 3rd, the first of the month. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay my insurance. I got to pay my tithe. I got to pay this. I got to pay that. Then how we think? Riches of Egypt, treasures of Egypt. That's where our minds are most of the time. Instead of considering the reproach of Christ as a great riches, considering the reproach of Christ as greater riches. What if somebody was going to cut your head off today for speaking about Jesus? Would you speak? The story is told of the height of the Cold War, the Russians, that a group of black-clothed, camoed Russian guards came into a church service in Russia, and they pulled their weapons on everyone in the assembly and said, "Now, we realize that many of you are here because you're just a guest or someone tricked you into coming and you really don't want to be in this illegal assembly. So you have permission. You have 30 seconds to clear out." Man, people are jumping out windows, running out doors. And then the men took off their masks and their headgears, and they said, "Now that all the hypocrites are gone, brothers, let's worship." If we choose to think about receiving a reward, we must also think and cling to the idea that salvation is real and that it is costly, and that we can't accept the grace of God with one hand while we actively shed blood or do injustice or refuse to extend our hand to help one in need with the other. You can't be of those two minds. I mean, you can be. The word for that is hypocrite. And the hypocrite will receive no rewards in heaven. Also in heaven, there is a register of all those who are redeemed. Those won't be hypocrites. The Bible is pretty clear about that. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Is your name written? In the early service today, we sang, "There's a new name written in glory, and it's mine. It's mine." Is your name written in heaven? Do you know that? Because if you don't, you don't need to be thinking about rewards. You just need to think about that. Get your name written in heaven. I promise you that it can be written there and that it needs to be written there. "All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb life who has been slain, they're going to the lake of fire. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." How do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? You give your life to the Lamb. And in giving your life to the Lamb, you're saying, "If somebody's going to cut my head off one day for speaking your name, I'm still going to speak your name. If someone's going to persecute my family one day because I am obeying you, I'm still going to obey you. If I'm not going to get that job because I am a Christian and I refuse to not share the gospel with my coworkers, then I don't want the job. I just want to obey you." When I was a public school teacher, I prayed in class. School prayer is outlawed, you say. Yes, it was. I promise you, if I'm teaching chemistry and I'm giving a test, they're going to be praying, and every kid in there wants me to pray for them to do well on the test. I read scripture every day I taught school. Which is most important to you? we need to give our lives to Christ, holy. And last, in heaven there is perfect Christian fellowship. I hope we can begin to get a foretaste of that here and now. But please do me a favor, in all that you do this weekend, don't know who you're going to see at your barbecue or whatever you're going to, be a Christian witness. I'm pretty sure your neighbors and your family aren't going to cut your head off for your doing so. But if they do, what a great testimony you will have in heaven. Your reward will be great. Let's pray. Father, you know us. You know our need for you. You know our love for you. And you know those in this room who have not yet made their reservations and have not yet had their name written in this Lamb's Book of Life. Today, Father, would you write a new name down in glory? May it be theirs. Father, there are also those who are here today who must think about how little we sacrifice for such a great Savior. Help us, Father, not to become arrogant or prideful in our sacrifices, but to become mindful of those who are giving great sacrifice in their nations. And may we support them by our prayers. May we support them with our tithes. May we support them, Father, our brothers and sisters in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Sudan and Nigeria and all the places in the world where today to be a Christian is to put a death sentence upon your head. May we today, Father, join them in their suffering, and may we raise them before your throne of grace and say thank you for their faithfulness, and thank you more for your faithfulness to them, even unto death. May we each, Father, join them now. And may this become a place where perfect fellowship may be had, because every Christian is a Christian on their road to maturity. This we pray today in Christ's name.